Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Ken Shepard. The show's called Making Money in Real Estate When You Have Money. The call-in number for the show this morning is 347-989-1329. We're going to be talking about credit, how you get it, why it's important, and how to fix it if there's a problem with it, and just different things having to do with credit. Credit lines, things like that. Okay, so I'm going to get the disclaimer out of the way first. This show is intended only for the listeners. All investment information contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips and Ken Shepard believe are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips, Inc. or Ken Shepard in any manner. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepard accepts no liability for the content of the show or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepard recommends you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that can help you to understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. Okay. So I gave you guys the call-in number. There's no charge for this show. All the archives are free. We hope it helps you. The whole idea is to help people do more deals and create strength. Strength versus weakness. Always use your strengths to help fund your weaknesses. Everybody has weaknesses and strengths. I've been in this industry 30 years. We closed $26 million in deal flow recently. Have put up a soft proof of funds for up to $500 million and have about $500 million in process right now, including some hotels. Our website is www.creativeflips.webs.com. You can look at the accomplishments and resume tabs, learn more about us there. Our 24-hour voicemail telephone number is 310-358-7087. Our website, I gave you the phone number, 9 to 5 California time, is 818-585-9706. The email is 247fci@packbell.net. Our Twitter feed at Ken Shepard. Our Facebook account is Facebook.com/Ken Shepard and Facebook.com/Creative Flips Inc. You can connect with over 140,000 investors at no cost to you. There is a free option there. KenReRadio.com is the link to get into that. I recommend that for everybody and everybody that you know. Tell them all. Tell everybody about this radio show and tell everybody about that link. We're going to have the gentleman who's the CEO of that company on as a guest next Wednesday, I believe. So that should be pretty exciting. It's a very good way to connect with people all over the country, if not internationally, on all kinds of deals and all kinds of things where you need financing. Let's see. We run a mastermind class, up to 20 people maximum, meeting with me on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 in the morning California time, $20 a person a class. These are masterminds. We had one yesterday that was very, very powerful, I thought. And if you're interested in that, come anytime you want or forever or once or twice, whatever you think is best for you. You can sign up at kenshepard51@yahoo.com. Just put mastermind in your subject line and just tell us you're interested in the mastermind, and I will get back to you because I want to talk to everybody that's in that meeting personally so we know who's in that room. Okay, so our subject today is everything having to do with credit. First of all, let's talk about why credit's so important. One of the things we talk about all the time is use other people's capital to get your deals done. Because when you use other people's capital, you leverage your positions and you give yourself much more of an opportunity to have a chance at closing a deal, okay? Because you don't need all cash. All cash, it doesn't necessarily mean your cash. It could mean credit lines, could it be partners' cash, it could mean a lot of things. It's just cash at close to the closing agent, okay? So you can have credit of your own, you can have credit cards, you can have credit lines, you can go to banks. The ones that we find are the best is smaller banks, but we have lines at bigger banks as well, a lot of bigger banks, number of lines, and the number of cards and things like that when we move in and out of those positions sometimes in those lines. You have to generally have a relationship with a bank to open a line. We're going to talk a little bit about starting up credit when you don't have it and how important it is, but initially, obviously, you know, you need to build a relationship with a lender or any institution that's going to give you credit, because if they're going to not use your real estate for security, they're going to have a promise from you or your business or some other form of collateral that is guaranteeing the loan. Your signature in many cases is enough if they trust you enough and they know you well enough. That gets back to your credit report, which we'll also talk about. So credit is a very important part of our society today. It's an incredibly powerful tool. And as I said, you can get credit from going to banks. You can get credit from different kinds of places. There's different websites you can go to all over the internet where you can learn about credit. You can get credit, and you can apply for credit. I would be careful about applying for too much, and we're going to talk about that as well. So a long time ago, I'm going to talk about what's important on credit and why it's so important. A long time ago, I remember I was in my maybe 20s, and all of a sudden I started getting some really nasty phone calls from collection agencies, and I was current on all my credit. And I kept saying, who are you calling me and why are you calling? And they were all very belligerent. And one day I finally got one person to listen to me enough to help me understand that they were calling because they said I used an account at a particular store that I hadn't paid my bill, and I'd never had an account at that store. So long story short, I had to research a whole bunch of different stores and places that had opened up accounts for me by pulling my credit report. And this was very difficult in 1975 or something. I think you had to pull your report. It was really hard to get. Today, it's like nothing. You get it on the internet for free or for a dollar, but it wasn't that way then. And the banks held those things so close to the vest. It was really hard. So anyway, I got my credit report, and I noticed there were all these companies on there that I'd never heard of. Plus, it said I live somewhere I never lived. So what I started to do is research this stuff. Of course, I reported it to the police and told them about it, and they reported it as a fraud and all that stuff. And I learned through that how to get in touch with all the credit agencies in the fraud section and have them allow me to put on my credit report my side of the story. And I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but you can put your side of the story on any credit report as to why credit is the way it is. Like if somebody's used your name, you can put that as without your permission. Or if you've defaulted on a loan and you've made it up and, you know, whatever happened, you can put, I think, up to 150 words as your side of the explanation. So somebody reading a credit report will get your side of the story. So I finally found the guy who had done this to me. I don't know how I found him, but I finally got him to call me one time. And it turned out that he had gotten what he said was my Social Security number from somebody at the Social Security office. I don't know if this is true or not. And that it's, you know, he was only calling, he was only using the credit of people who had passed away. And I said, well, I'm not passed away. I promise you, I'm sitting here alive and breathing on the phone with you. And so he was very freaked out, and he basically said, I'm sorry, I was only thought I was using dead people's stuff. And I said, well, you shouldn't be doing it at all, much less, you know, using people's that you don't own. So I guess he was somehow getting these. So obviously that was credit card fraud has become a big, big part of our society. So always be extremely careful using your Social Security number. Don't give it out unless you absolutely have to. I'm very, very cautious with it on the internet, and I'm extremely cautious with it even off the internet. Don't let anybody send your credit report around the internet. Don't let anybody send your business financials that, or your tax returns or any of that stuff around the internet with your Social Security number showing. Make sure it's off and all your account numbers are blocked out. Okay? Now, let's talk a little bit about why credit is so important. Well, obviously, credit is really important because you want to have it to be able to expand your business. If you're buying something and you need to pay all cash and it's a $10,000 purchase and you only have $2,000, you need another $8,000, whether you get it from an investor, whether you get it from a line of credit, whether you get it from if whatever you get it from or wherever it comes from, whether you borrow against things you own in order to get the money to make the deal, you need another $8,000 cash, okay? And so one of the things we try and help people do is say, look, you need to have credit. You need to have the ability to draw down on certain credit lines responsibly, and I use that word underlined, responsibly, because you have to make your payments on whatever you take down. Otherwise, your credit report ends up with all kinds of negatives on it. We'll talk about that a little later, but you definitely want to be responsible with your credit. You want to balance your credit and manage your credit and use it for like large things that you want to purchase, real estate, things like that. I wouldn't use it for living expenses and things of that nature. I would use it for things that are important for business purchases. That's what I use it for. And credit cards, of course, you can use for everyday purchases. They're important to have just because you want to have them. And interestingly enough, the more credit cards you have, or used to be, the more credit cards you have, the more banks sent you. Well, now, that's not necessarily the case. Actually, they're constricting a lot of the credit. I've had people call me and say, I had a $50,000 line, and all of a sudden the bank took me down to $15,000. They took $35,000 off my credit line. And then you call the bank and ask them why. They say, well, we just looked at your credit report, and we think that you've got too much debt out there or whatever, so we just reduced the amount of credit we're willing to extend to you. And that has everything to do with the banks pulling back. It has everything to do with the banks not wanting people to have as much cash. This is part of our problem in our society, is that the banks are not lending, not as much as they used to, certainly. Now, credit cards are still a big revenue for them, whether you pay on it or not, and especially if you don't, boy, the penalties are severe. You can pay $25, $35 for each bounced check. You can pay all kinds of money in late fees. By the time you're done, it's a very expensive process. So you have to make sure you manage your credit, and you have to make sure you make your payments on time. Now, when you have credit, you can do a lot of very powerful things. You can move on deals you couldn't move on otherwise and stuff like that, and so it can be very important. So let's talk about how you get that kind of credit. Well, obviously, if you walk into a bank and you don't have somebody with you that has a very strong financial statement and you don't have a very strong financial statement, the bank's going to look at you and say, who are you? And they're going to look at you and they're going to learn about you. First thing they're going to ask you is your Social Security number so they can pull your credit report. Now, a lot of people don't have credit reports. They have what's called Dun & Bradstreet's through their corporations and stuff like that. But we're going to keep it really simple today. One day we'll have a credit expert on, but right now we're going to keep it really simple and just talk a little bit about why credit is so important and what happens when you go to get it. So you walk into the bank and the bank says to you, you say to them, I want to get a credit card. And they say, okay, you fill out this application, and probably within 5 minutes they tell you whether you're approved or not. And you go, well, okay, if you're not approved, why am I not approved? Well, you maybe have too much credit or you don't have enough credit. I mean, it's a very, very tricky balancing act. And it's all based on the credit scores of three different credit reporting agencies, all of whom report what's called repository information into the credit bureaus. And people like Wells Fargo and Bank of America and all kinds of folks that collect credit information and then report it pay a subscription fee, because then they can get that information also when they need it to help them make credit decisions. So this is called your FICO score, F-I-C-O, and it has three separate scores on it. One is what's called a TransUnion score, one is called an Equifax score, and one is called an Experian score. The three separate agencies that all put together their scores on what's called a tri-merge credit report. And the tri-merge will show all your different credit from all your different sources, as long as it's a reporting source. Now, some places don't report. Like, I know that the phone company doesn't report, as an example. If you're late, they only report if they take you to collection. Same thing with the utilities, I think the gas company and stuff like that. But credit cards and car loans and house loans and, gosh, credit lines and all that kind of stuff do report, unless you have a corporation, which is another way of having credit, where it goes on your corporate side and you have a personal guarantee on it many times, or maybe not, but even if you have a personal guarantee, it may not appear on your credit report because it's part of your corporate credit report, which is one of the other things you can do with credit. Is you can start a corporation, build a corporate credit, and that corporate credit can be personally guaranteed, and those kinds of things don't necessarily show up on your tri-merge report when your Social Security number is full, because your employer identification number is used instead of your Social Security number, and so some of your credit facilities may not appear on your credit report for that reason. Okay? Now, I realize that's a little bit fancy, but, you know, if you have any questions about this, just give us a call. But, you know, we can refer you to a credit specialist, but, you know, because it's not our area. But we do know that that's very, very important stuff. And so when I had my credit report messed up before, I was able to get information from all three credit bureaus as to how this happens. And I learned an awful lot about credit. I learned that everybody that puts anything on your credit report has a subscription relationship with the credit bureaus. And also, and sometimes they don't have it with all three. They may only have it with one or two. Maybe they have it with all three, whatever. And so that's why a tri-merge is so important, because if you have a loan with an institution that only reports to, say, TransUnion, and so when they pull just your Equifax, the TransUnion stuff won't show up. That's why they pull what's called a tri-merge credit report. So when you're out looking at credit, obviously they want to know your history. They want to know if you've made the payments. They want to know if you have too much credit, not enough credit. There's a lot of indicators when people decide if they're going to extend you credit. And of course, banks always want to extend money to the wealthy because the wealthy have the money, whereas the people who are just getting started find it very difficult. There's what's called secured credit cards, which helps you start your credit if you have no credit, where you can get like a card for $100 or something, and you put $100 in the bank and you can have $100 worth of credit. And it reports on your credit report. As long as you make your payments, then you start to build good credit. That's what I recommend people do when they're in their teens, to get a credit card, start a secured account. Even if it's for $100 or $200, just start a secured account and, you know, go out and buy something for $20 a month or buy some gas or something and then pay it off. Or pay it in payments even. It doesn't matter. The point is you keep up with what the credit card company is asking you to pay, because you're making a promise to them when they're extending credit to you. And when you don't pay, of course, that's when it gets a little bit challenging, certainly on your credit report side. Now, of course, if you make your payments over time, after they get to know you over a long period of time, they may automatically give you more credit, or they may take some of your credit away. It goes up and down. But in our society today, credit is very, very touchy, because you can have a credit line one day, and the next day you can go to check it, and it's gone. I had a guy call me, and like I said, he had his credit line moved from $50,000 to $15,000, and the bank didn't even send him a notice until 3 weeks later. So these things happen all the time. So this is one of the reasons that there's so much of a need for cash in our society, because credit is becoming harder and harder to get for real estate, which is why people are going to private investors and things like that, and funds like us, because they can't go to banks and get credit. They just can't do it. So we've, you know, built up a long time, 30 years plus, relationships with all kinds of folks that, you know, have lots of cash and credit and such like that, so they can put it in deals that we feel we want to go into and that we feel are not, are, you know, to fit our appetite and such like that. But at the end of the day, credit is extremely important. Now, let's talk, like I said, I'm just kind of glazing over credit today. Okay, we're going to get into some specifics in future shows, but right now we're just going over credit. What happens when you don't make your payments? Well, obviously the credit bureaus are notified, and you're not going to have good relationships with your lenders. They're not going to want to extend your credit. You're going to have late payments. You're going to have late charges, and you're going to spend a lot of money. Credit card companies have a tremendous profit center in the interest rates that people pay on their credit cards. I saw one the other day where the guy's rate was 24%. That wasn't including late fees. That wasn't including any kind of whatever, any other charges. Just his interest rate was 24%. And that's a legal interest rate. Is that amazing? Think about that for a second. They're collecting 24% on your money every year, all the time, day in and day out. Why? Because it's an unsecured credit facility, so it's risky. It's more risky than having security like a car or security like a house or something like that. They're basically just going on your promise. they're taking your promise that you're going to pay. And so when you don't pay, what happens? Well, certainly what happens is that the credit becomes difficult and challenging. It becomes harder and harder for you to get things done. And the other thing that happens is that the credit card companies eventually, if you don't make your payments, will sell that for a very, very low amount of money to somebody to get some cash for it. And then you'll start getting calls rather than from your bank. You'll get calls from some collection agency that bought it that has a bunch of lawyers in the office, and all they do all day is collect on accounts. And they may settle for 20 cents on the dollar, and you may pay them over time, and you won't pay as much, but it'll definitely affect your credit. And, of course, the worst thing you can do is for your credit is to take bankruptcy. Now, of course, some people need to. Sometimes, obviously, these things happen. Nothing's perfect in life. But what we're just basically saying is when you make your payments, you can build credit over time. When you don't make your payments, you'll lose credit and you'll have problems getting more credit. And once you make a missed payment, all the credit card companies generally talk to each other and know each other, or they can look at your credit report and see if you're missed. And if you're missed with one guy, then they could take your credit card and raise your rate just because it's called a cross default. But basically it means that even though you didn't default with that company, you defaulted with another company, so that company has the right to raise your rate. So you have to be very, very careful with credit. Now, there are people that do credit repair, okay? You've got to be very, very careful who you have talked to about helping you with credit repair. You want to make sure that they know what they're doing. You want to make sure that their fees are in line with the market by checking with maybe some CPAs, or make sure you get a referral from a CPA, or check with a Better Business Bureau or whatever, or look online at how they're doing and, you know, read about them, Google them, search their names, whatever, on Yahoo, whatever you want to do, and find out if they have good records and all that kind of stuff. Because a lot of people are famous for taking money from people to fix their credit, never get their credit fixed, yet they charge them a fortune to do what they said they could do and they didn't do. So credit repair is a very, very touchy area, okay? And when somebody says to you, I can fix your credit in 30 days, don't worry about it. Well, what that means, let me explain to you some of the things that happen. One of the things that happens is that, you know, they'll tell you to get somebody else to put up their credit report and tie you in by having cards on their credit report, and then your credit report becomes their credit report. Think about if you were the lender, how you'd feel about that. That's not good, okay? The second thing that'll happen, some of the things that can happen are like this. They'll say to you, listen, why don't you go out and not make your payments so that we can get your payments reduced and redo your credit. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff on television about how people are broadcasting. If you have no problem, if you owe different people and this, that, and the other thing, we can get your payments down to 20% of what they were before. Well, they may very well be able to do that, or maybe less, but you're going to have a definite effect on your credit report. So credit report servicing agencies that do credit repair, there are some good ones. There are some restoration companies that fix credit, but here's another thing that happens. If they report something to the credit bureau, and I don't know all the credit bureau rules, and I'm not a specialist in this area, but if you report something to a credit a bureau and you're trying to buy a loan really fast, or you're trying to do something really fast, and the credit bureau doesn't get back to them within a certain period of time, then something automatically comes off your report. Well, if they pull your report the next day after it comes off, then it's not going to be on there, and then you go out and get financing before it gets back on, because it does eventually get back on. Because what happens is if it comes off after 30 days and you don't take care of it or it doesn't get resolved, it goes right back on your report anyway. And if you don't get it taken off at the source, I mean the company that's actually the person who you have your credit with, like a Capital One or whoever it might be, not TransUnion, not Equifax, and not Experian. Those guys just take in information, okay? They take their information from their subscriber base, and their subscriber will tell them take it off or not. You can talk to the credit bureau, and they'll take it off, like I said, for a limited period of time. But if the subscriber sees that it's been taken off, they're going to put it right back on within maybe 90 days. And so some people use that 60-day window between the time of the 30 days that it comes off your credit report and the time of the 90 days where the guy who's got your credit, like Capital One finds out about it and puts it back on again, you know, they go out and they get loans. And to the lenders that are doing the loans, it looks like you're in good shape. Well, you're not. And that's not fair to people that are making the loans. You have to always think about it from both sides of the table. If you're the lender, would you want to make that loan? And do you feel that's fair to do you're the lender, do you feel that's fair to you as a lender? And do you feel that's fair to everybody? I mean, if you treat everybody right and you tell the truth and you say, look, I've had some problems with my credit, I'm working on fixing it, that's one thing. But if you just blatantly try and mess around with taking advantage of people by doing the 60-day thing or whatever we just talked about, you know, it's not good. It's just not good. You always want to be honest. You just always do. And sometimes if you don't have good credit, you can have somebody co-sign for you that has good credit and help you get more credit at a bank. Sometimes if somebody comes in with you and you don't have good credit, but they have a very substantial balance sheet and they have a lot of credit and they have a lot of excellent relationships with their banks, you may be able to get a credit line with your name on it and their name on it at the bank. Well, both of you have to sign, but they're responsible for what happens on that line. But as long as they don't have any, as long as you can't do anything without their approval, then you shouldn't have a problem. So at the end of the day, credit is very, very important, okay? We use it all the time. We go in and out of transactions off of credit lines. We pay lines down. They go back up, you know, whatever. We just want to have use of credit. Now, you can use a credit line as proof of funds. So if you have, say, $10,000 on a credit line, and you need proof of funds for $7,000, whether you're using the money, there's no money used on that credit line, that's a proof of funds. So sometimes if you just need a small amount of money and you have credit and you've built your credit up, you'll have credit lines or credit cards with lines, and those lines will be established for a certain amount of money. So if you have a line that's, say, for $10,000, probably they won't start you out that high, but let's just say you built it up to $10,000 and you only owe $1,000, you have $9,000 of available credit. So if you need to show that you have $7,000 to do a deal, you can do it right off of that credit line or credit card. You don't even need to put the money in the bank. I mean, that will be very acceptable to anybody that's ever going to give you, use that as proof of funds. Now, they may want to check it and confirm that it's current and that the balances are what you say they are, that you haven't drawn on it $5,000 the day before you gave it to them, because lots of times people will give us a bank statement or a credit card statement or a credit line statement, and if it's more than 5 days old, we consider that too old. We always ask for them to give us what's called a non-aged report. And a non-aged report is always within 5 days of the date that you're looking at the particular document. So if I'm looking at something today, I wouldn't want something that's older than last, Wednesday? Last Thursday, okay? That's how we do it. And we still verify those balances because we want to make sure the money's really there. Now, can they spend the money between now and then? Sure. But will they spend the money between now and then? Yeah, obviously, hopefully not. If you're in the middle of a deal with them, can you ask them to put the money in escrow? Sure. You know, so anyway, back to credit. It's all about, credit really comes down to being honest. So we have 90 seconds left. I know I've covered an awful lot in a short period of time. This has been kind of an overview. We'll have to have somebody come back and talk extensively on credit and credit building and credit restoration and all that, because it's a whole area that can take hours and hours and hours of explanation. But you can find out a lot about it online. You can call us and we'll refer you to some sources we know that know about this stuff, people that we've talked to over time that we trust. But this is a very important area for you to learn about. And as I said, you can learn about it all online. It's all free. It's not all free, of course, but a lot of it's free, enough of it certainly, to really get involved and learn what you're doing. So I'm hoping to have an escrow officer tomorrow or Friday. Next Monday, I have a wonderful guest. Next Wednesday, I have a wonderful guest. Monday is on wealth management and preservation of your income legally within the tax code. And Wednesday is the gentleman who is the CEO of the group that I told you about that has the 140,000 investors that he's put together, this wonderful website. It's a great portal for people to learn on. So we have about 10 seconds. Again, my name is Ken Shepherd. The name of the show is Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. It's been a pleasure being with everybody today. Hope you guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. And thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.